Thanks for checking out the Open Sky Fitness podcast with Rob Dione. Rob is a personal trainer certified by the National Academy of Sports Medicine. He's a corrective exercise specialist and a performance enhancement specialist. Rob is also a level one CrossFit instructor, but he is not a doctor. If you got any injuries or medical issues, go see a physician. And when it comes to working out, it's always best to have a trainer watch your technique to get you started. So be careful, don't sue us, and enjoy the podcast. All right, let's do this thing.
Hey guys, thanks for listening to the Open Sky Fitness Podcast. I'm Rob Dione, and I'm here to tell you that no matter where you are in your life, you can always be healthier. And we're here to help you get there. Okay guys, so if you have questions about your own health and fitness, or if you have questions that you want us to ask our guests for you, write us on Twitter and Instagram at Open Sky Fitness with the hashtag AskOpenSky. You can also email me, rob@openskyfitness.com, or go to openskyfitness.com, and you can leave a voice memo right there on the tab on the right side.
All right, guys. So I am sitting here with Jeffrey Meacham.
Oh yeah,
and it's been a little while actually since you've been on the show. I don't think I've had you on for the last, I don't know, 4 or 5 episodes.
Yeah, it's been well over a month for me.
So Jeff is deep into shooting for the second season of Black-ish.
Yep.
And so I'm really excited for you, buddy. Jeff is gonna be rich. he's gonna be a TV star.
I hope so.
All right, good. Well, I do too, so. Because I need some money.
Yeah.
But so we had a great guest on the show, Max Lugavere, who is I'm gonna talk about his whole bio, but he's directing a documentary called Breadhead that talks all about brain function and how his mother is going through Alzheimer's, or actually that's not true. She has some kind of cognitive decline.
And she has a form of dementia.
And so he's making a documentary to kind of raise awareness about what's happening with his mother. And we, you know, it's amazing because I have and I mentioned this again on the show too. My grandmother on my father's side had Alzheimer's.
Right.
My great grandmother on my mother's side has had Alzheimer's, and it's in my family.
Yeah.
And I think as your dad, and you know, I'm hopefully going to be a dad in the future. I'm not saying that that Devin's pregnant, but
nope.
I'm just saying.
But you're, yeah.
I that's one of my goals in life is to have kids, and I want to make sure that I can take care of my family from now until I die. And it's a scary thing to think that eventually I'm gonna lose, you know, my mind.
Yeah.
I lose the ability to think or remember or anything or function in that way. And, you know, we have to now, they say that this is a 30-year, like it starts 30 years before. So if I'm
That's
in my
nuts.
30s and I want to be in my 60s and not to start seeing signs, they say that now is the time to start preparing for something like this.
Right.
So
how do you prepare for something like this besides one of the things that we talk about in this, and again, I always will mention this, it really does always come back, no matter what we're talking about, to be exercising and eating healthy.
Yeah.
Right? Like that. Is really what it comes down to if you boil it down. But what else? I mean, remember we used to you'd see those things in the news being like, make sure you do Sudoku every day and, you know, keep the mind sharp. Like, I wonder if all that stuff's
true. Mark Sisson does those every day. He does a word puzzle every single day. I think he does the entire, you know, LA Times or New York Times every single morning in 30 minutes.
That infamous Sunday New York Times one. Right,
right. Exactly. One? But, you know, and I think there's definitely something about that. But you can be, so say that's not the kind of person you are, because I'm not. I'm a Sudoku person. I love doing Sudoku. I do them on the plane. That's what, you know, just to have fun.
But no, I'm a porn guy, but personally.
I mean, everybody has their thing.
And yours
is porn. But you know, if that's not your thing, if you don't challenge your mind in that way, well, then you know, you have to approach it from another angle, because you have to be able to function. You know, you have to be able to remember things. Where you put your keys is a very good example. You know, or just if somebody gives you a bit of information and you immediately forget it, you know, that's going to get worse and worse and worse over time. So there's certain things that you can do, and Max talks about that on this episode. There's certain things that you could do to kind of prepare for that, and your nutrition. And you're not going to, this is not like totally foreign to you guys because you've been listening to the show, but your nutrition is a big part of you know, trajectory into the future and having some kind of, and being able to maintain proper brain function.
All right. So for you, what is your biggest, with your family history, what's your biggest fear?
my biggest fear would be able would not being able to remember anybody.
So yours is based on the grandparents. It's the dementia stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I want to be physically functional.
Like sure,
my father, who I've mentioned before, has had multiple strokes.
Right.
I think three at this point.
And really?
Yeah, he's had some minor ones, but one specifically that really debilitated him, and he's lost function in his left arm.
Really?
His left side is totally. Not completely paralyzed. He can walk, but he has no feeling in his left leg or his left foot.
Really?
And he has no function in his right hand.
Can't do
arm.
Anything.
He can raise it a little bit. He can kind of like, you know, his
left
fingers,
hand, left hand,
his left right. hand, yeah, yeah. His fingers are kind of stuck in like a grip position. So
okay.
he can kind of grab bags, like,
oh,
hold, like
okay.
shopping bags with
right.
the fingers, but they're not, he's not grabbing. They're just stuck there.
Right.
So, and I that would be a big fear to me.
Yeah, yeah.
And a lot of this comes down to brain health.
Right.
Obviously, and heart health, and so a lot of what drives me is for me to have, you know, to be able to, you know, prevent that,
right?
And that's why I want to change the way that I eat. That's why I'm, you know, trying to exercise as much as possible. I think that's one of the driving forces behind what I'm doing. But then
right.
as well, like, I'm 38, right? So say I have kids, I'm going to be 39, 40 by the time I have my first kid.
Yeah.
Which means I'm going to be 60
by the time
they go to college,
yeah.
by the time they're in college, which means by the time they're starting to have kids, I'm going to be in my 70s, which is where my dad is.
Yep.
So I know that I want to be able to play around with my grandkids.
Yep, yep.
And if I'm my dad's age, you know...
Dude,
by the time my kids are having kids, I'm not going to be able to do anything.
No joke. That's exactly where we are right now, in the sense of where our parents are. And
yeah.
I agree with you 100%. That's what I would like to be. You know, my pop, you know, he was always such a physical person, and, you know, a construction worker, and always could move and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But watching him and my stepmom with the kids, they just can't do it. My stepmom's leg is totally shot just from, you know, age, and my father's body hurts him a lot. So chasing around a 3-year-old or a 4-year-old, that's so hard for them to do. And they just can't do it.
Yeah.
Just can't do it. And I remember Christy and I have joked, you know, both of our moms cannot keep up. They just cannot keep up. They cannot.
And you say, you know, it's just age, but at the same time, look,
I'm not
there's
saying
certain
it's just
factors
age,
that
yeah.
are involved. Like, some people have injuries and then they fall and then they have to recover from that, and they don't necessarily.
No, I'm saying all of them could have been prevented.
Right.
You know?
There's
yeah.
certain things that you can do to prevent, you know, falling into that category. Mm-hmm. So this.
Or just give yourself a better percentage of a chance to
right.
be
that's
at 70
that's
to be able
true.
To
I
do
think
these
we
things.
Talk about Alzheimer's and like they say 1 in 3 is preventive. You know,
okay.
you can prevent.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. So, but there's genetics that are involved. I've got, you said something, he's like, but it's never been on the father's side in terms of Alzheimer's. It's never been on the male side.
Right.
I don't know if that's not necessarily true.
I have no idea.
I have no idea, but.
I just know your sisters are fucked.
It's in.
You know?
they don't know who I am.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the point. I've left. They forgot they had a brother.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, it's just, I don't want to, if I am part of the one out of, you know, the three that could prevent it, I want to be that.
We all know that no matter what, there are genetic things or there are things that there's nothing we can do about, but
right.
our goal is to be able to
yeah.
stop. Like for me, man.
Yeah.
I know this sounds crazy. For some reason, I avoid yoga.
Mm-hmm.
So much when I know it is so good for me.
Right.
Every time I come out of a yoga class, anytime I do it, I feel smarter, right? I feel a little bit more focused. I'm more relaxed. My
yeah.
body, of course, feels great. And you know me, when I like to work out hard, and you know, I'm at 36 now, and my body is starting to really hurt me.
Mm.
You know, I'm starting to do things that I make a move sometimes, not working out, but just in regular life, and I'm starting to pull things,
right.
you know, a little more often. I'm like, what am I doing? But for me, when I see my father's body having broken down, now mind you, the toll he put on his body is insane. I'm like, God, what? I feel like I could prevent this
yeah.
from happening if I just did a little bit more yoga, you know?
Well, yoga, I mean, you can pick multiple things to
sure.
do that you can, you know, you can do Pilates, you could do gyrotonic, you can
yeah,
do
yeah,
things
yeah.
like that.
I'm
that
not doing gyrotonic. That's no, no.
But you can, there's all kinds of things that you can do to prevent that. Even if you wanted to just do weightlifting, or even if you wanted
yeah.
to just do, you know, well, I wouldn't say just do running, but like if you, there's certain things that you can do. As long as you have a good amount of variety in there
yeah,
for yourself, where
absolutely.
You're not just building over and over repetitive movement where you're declining in other ranges of motion and excelling in some. Like, you just want to make sure that you're being, you know,
yeah.
you're rounding it all out.
Yeah, I feel like when I do yoga is the only thing that I feel like someone is constantly telling me to correct my form and to put my body in the best place for healing and strengthening and stuff like that. No other place in working out. Like I run, no one's standing next to me when I'm running being like, "Ooh, you need to adjust this or adjust that," you know? And even the work I do, you know, at this place I go to now, that's the one thing they don't talk about. There's too many people in the class to come over and correct your form all the time.
Right.
But yoga, for some reason, I did not mean to get this on a yoga kick.
My
fear is, besides the obvious, like cancer and
well, we talk about that. Max mentions it on this episode as well, that exercise is one of the major contributors to brain health.
Yeah.
So if you are not exercising, you're eliminating that one thing out of your life that could possibly help.
Do you have anybody in your family that lived like crazy old?
I mean, I've had my grandfather, my grandmother, even though she had Alzheimer's, lived into her 90s.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And my grandmother now is 89, who's starting to mentally lose it a bit.
Yep.
But, you know, I don't think that's, you know, I feel like that if it took that long to kick in, because Max's mother was 59 when she started feeling, seeing some kind of signs in the 80s. If you're seeing signs, it just means, I think that's more of a sign that, you know what, maybe this was preventable.
Yeah. 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 You know? For sure. So I mean, I look at, like, I've got a grandmother. My grandmother passed away, I don't know how many years ago now, on my mom's side, but she did everything wrong to her body. And besides her awful back, which she, you know, knew nothing about stretching, she lived like crazy old. She smoked every day. You know those people we always talk about?
Those are like,
the ones that just, it doesn't matter, man. There's just something in their body that's like, yeah, we'll let you keep ticking.
Right. George Burns, the guys who's always smoking a cigar, just like drinking every day.
Just keep living, man. Yeah. My grandmother broke her hip once.
Those people are phenomenons. And, you know, like, and we always, and yeah, this is what everybody, they hope that they are.
Yeah.
Everybody thinks, I'm invincible. No. I'm going to live like that. And then they're in their 50s and 60s and they have heart attacks and they're suffering from cancer and they start to see signs of dementia. And then, you know, and then they're like, oh, no, wait. Shit, maybe I shouldn't have done that.
Yeah. It is weird, though, how it just starts to climb, right? Like we're here. Here we are now in our late, officially, we're in our later 30s now. Yeah. And
this is the time to start thinking about it, man.
It really is.
You want to stay active with your boy. I want to stay active with my kids. I want to make sure that, you know, I'm able to take care of Devin. I'm able to take care of my family constantly.
Devin's weak too, like you need to take care of her.
I know, she's a wuss.
She's
got a busted foot, so yeah.
Oh, she did, she broke her foot. God, is there anything cuter than your little like fairy princess of a wife walking around with her giant boot? It looks like an ugly Ugg.
It is the cutest thing ever. All right, well, we're gonna jump into this interview with Max.
Smartest guy ever, Jeff
I can't even deal with it. Smartest guy he's ever talked to. But before we do that, guys, I just want to remind everybody that we love iTunes reviews, and it really helps us grow in our ratings. So if you can leave us a review, that would be awesome. And I'm going to give you guys a really fast way to do that. All you have to do is text the word OSF, as in Open Sky Fitness, OSF review, all one word, to the number 33444, and you'll get a little response back. And in that response, that text response, there'll be a link right to our iTunes review page, and you could just click on that and then start typing us a review. And then, as an added bonus, we will send you a bottle of Naked Infusion Salsa. If you've been listening to the show, we've been talking about Naked Infusion Salsa for a while. All you got to do is go to the Naked Infusion Salsa website, nakedinfusion.com. And pick a bottle of salsa. It's all organic, non-GMO. Tastes great. They have 8 different bottles to choose from. So here's what you do. So you text us and get the review, OSF, as in Open Sky Fitness review, OSF review, and we'll send you the link. You fill that out, and then you screenshot that. Right after you fill it out, before you send submit, you screenshot it so we can see that you actually wrote that out, and you email that screenshot to rob@openskyfitness.com, and you say, here's my address, Rob, send me this bottle of salsa, and we'll have that baby sent out to you ASAP.
This is not hard, people. This is on your phone. Do it on your phone. Seriously. Text every day. Do it in your car. You know what I mean? While you're driving, red light. Is that not right? I shouldn't be saying. No, seriously, it's so easy to do. Text.
You're on the highway. You're in traffic. You've got nothing else to do.
It's slow moving traffic. You're fine. Yeah. 33444 is the number you're going to text it to. OSF review, all one word. A little link's going to pop up. Click on it. Everything is so simple. Do it. God, I'm angry at you for not doing it.
See, Jeff actually remembered from memory.
And that's all from memory.
And he hasn't been on the show since I've been doing this.
So yeah, yeah.
God knows that you could do it. If Jeff can remember,
seriously, I don't even. You don't even want to know what I got on my SATs. Okay, That's
all right. Here we go. Our interview with Max Lugavere. So I am on the line with Max Lugavere. He's a filmmaker, a media personality, and quickly becoming one of the leading voices in the health field. He's also a writer and a director and a producer of an upcoming documentary titled Breadhead. That's how I found him. He's the first millennial-focused film exploring the impact of diet and lifestyle on the on brain health. And he's also been featured, which is also how I found him, on Fat Burning Man podcast. He's been on the Bulletproof Radio. He's been on NBC Nightly News and featured in the Wall Street Journal in an article titled Alzheimer's Prevention for 30-somethings with No Symptoms.
That's a comedy. That's
straight up comedy. Max, thanks for coming on the show, bud.
Thank you guys so much for having me.
I love how I mention Dave Asprey and Abel James Fat Burning Man before NBC Nightly News.
Yeah, you put those in the wrong order.
Yeah, you
those,
like that?
In no particular order.
But to me, that's in terms of getting this kind of information much more important.
Okay,
that the order is in proper order. So Max.
Yes.
Tell us a little bit about this documentary, because I think this is going to be something that's going to open some people's eyes. Tell us about the documentary Breadhead and what sparked that for you.
Yeah, well, I mean, I really hope it does open people's eyes to this idea that is dementia prevention. It's a topic that has quickly become, I think, the most important topic in my universe. And, you know, the documentary really is an idea that I came up with when I stumbled upon this idea, which, you know, lo and behold, is a fairly new concept. I mean, it's only, you know, this year, it feels like, that we can really mention dementia and prevention in the same sentence. And so I'm looking at all of this research that seems to be coming to a head that just really seem to highlight the myriad of ways that our diet and lifestyles can modulate our cognitive health. And I came across this really sobering statistic that – or not even a statistic but a fact that some of our most feared diseases, you know, namely Alzheimer's disease, which is the most common form of dementia, begins in the brain decades before the first symptom. I mean, they've measured, you know, these amyloid plaques in the brains of 20-year-olds. So to me, it just became a really strong mobilizing force to not only dig into the research for my own cognitive health, but to use the tools that I had at my disposal to help amplify these ideas. So Breadhead is kind of like the culmination of that, and it's a project that I'm currently working on more or less full time, but yeah, I'm super excited, and I'm really glad that my ideas have reached you through those podcasts. I mean, that's awesome.
Well, I'd love for people to know, because documentaries aren't necessarily, especially for people to make them for the first time, aren't about money. It's about some kind of passion project that ignites with you, starting with you. Can you tell people what the driving force is behind this movie?
Yeah, well, it's definitely not money. and I think that people get that, and that's why I feel like I've had, you know, some level of just success in terms of getting the word out there. It's not about money for me at all. It's about 3-4 years ago, my mom started showing signs of cognitive decline, and that coincided with a few symptoms that were more indicative of like a movement disorder. Yeah, like essentially, it was a really traumatic time, and you know, it's something that I see every single day. And as somebody who's really always embraced these ideas of like food as information, of health, you know, I couldn't sit idly, you know, in the face of all of this crazy, you know, stuff that was going on in my family life. And so what I did was I just became obsessed with the science, and I started really sort of going down the research rabbit hole. And you know, I chose to do a documentary to disseminate these ideas, because with a doc, you don't have to ask anybody for permission. You can kind of just, you know, say that you're doing a documentary and figure it out from there. And that's kind of what I've done.
You know, just on a kind of a side note of that, you know, a lot of the people that we've been interviewing have talked about this inciting incident, you know, that happened in their lives that really spawned them to work their ass off on a passion project or change their life completely and put all their focus into this. This is really a side question. Were you a motivated person before this happened, or did you find the incident with your mom is what kind of sparked this new thing inside of you?
Well, I've always been really into the science of health. And it's been a very sort of private passion, I guess, you know. I've built a career on being public with my passions. I mean, you know, whether it's my music or, you know, the work that I did at Current TV. But few people really knew. I guess I didn't really have an outlet for this, you know, intense passion for health. But my whole life I've been into it. I actually, my senior thesis in high school, the longest paper I've ever done was on creatine. And when I went to college, I was pre-med. So I've always really been into this topic. But I myself have never really had any major health problems. I've never been overweight. I've just been genuinely, you know, awe-inspired by the way that our food affects our bodies. So the inciting incident really for me to come forward and out myself as somebody who's, you know, so passionate about these ideas was really when I experienced what many people refer to as the diagnose and adios model of mainstream neurology. I was going around the country with my mom, and, you know, so seldomly was the idea of diet and lifestyle really broached in these, you know, in these neurologists' offices in these storied medical academic institutions that, you know, me and my family had the luxury of being able to visit. And I felt myself really frustrated by that. And what I then encountered were these myths that I found I harbored, but so do many people my age, about neurodegenerative disease, namely that we can't affect our, you know, our cognitive health, or that these are diseases of the old, you know, when in fact they begin in the brain, like I said, decades before the first symptom. So I felt like there was definitely an opportunity for me to come in and make a really positive difference in people's health. And, you know, that's something that I guess secretly I've always kind of wanted to do, but never really had the platform to do it. And so what I did was I created the platform.
Now, you know, obviously you talk about your mother and having dementia, and she has she been diagnosed officially with Alzheimer's?
No, she has not been diagnosed with Alzheimer's. She has it's a strange confluence of symptoms, like I said. But, you know, regardless of the variant, they tend to prescribe the same drugs, and they don't really work very well.
That's what I was leading at. Is there some kind of treatment for this, or is there a way through the you know, your message that you're putting out there, the health message, which is there some kind of cure or way to reverse this at this point for her?
I mean, it's difficult to say, because if you understand that this is like a decades long disease process that's set into motion, I mean, it makes the likelihood of finding that one monotherapy all the more unrealistic, you know, like that one pharmaceutical pill that's going to – I mean, if you even just try to conceive of the fact that in Alzheimer's, which is the most common form of dementia, that there's a buildup of this plaque in the brain, I mean – you're going to have a really powerful drug to clear the brain of plaque and not see crazy side effects, you know? So that being said, there are multimodal interventions that have seen tremendous progress. I mean, this is very early days for this kind of research, but for example, Dale Bredesen at the Buck Institute, he made headlines just this past year when he showed essentially a reversal of symptoms in 9 out of 10 patients, some of which had Alzheimer's disease. There was also mild cognitive impairment thrown into the mix. But yeah, these researchers really are seeing amazing results. There's a lot of certainly anecdotal evidence online. I know that that's not as valuable as the randomized control trial, but one of my earliest exposures to the idea of sort of the metabolic theory of why Alzheimer's begins in the brain was through the work of Mary Newport, who is a pediatrician who, you know, her husband has had Alzheimer's disease, and she kind of saw this similarity in, you know, in terms of her research in the brains of Alzheimer's patients with type 2 diabetes, that is to say insulin resistance in the brain. And she started treating her husband with coconut oil, which is very high in the medium chain triglyceride kind of fat that provides a sort of alternate fuel source to these metabolically ailing brain cells. And so, you know, and that's just like the tip of the iceberg. There's a lot more evidence out there. You know, there's evidence that MCT therapy can really help people with these kinds of diseases. There's even a pharmaceutical food, a medical food called Axona, which, you know, is like essentially MCT, you know, oil, triglycerides to you know, that they prescribe to these kinds of patients. So, I mean, there's a lot of research being done, and it's just, it's incredibly exciting. And more work needs to be done for sure. And I, you know, I continue to support the work of, you know, funds that are looking for this pharmaceutical cure. But I think the imperative is on us to really spread the message of prevention. You know, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. So,
oh, you know what? And with that statement, Rob, I'm going to put this statement out there. Max is the most intelligent person we've ever had on our podcast. You sound smart. And you sound smart and not in any kind of pretentious way. Like, you just are an intelligent human being. And I love it because it's just the So I just picture, I hear Max talking, and then I think of some of the other people that are like, I like food. And I'm like, and here's Max, like, saving lives and finding reasons.
Oh my God, okay.
We've had a litany of people come on our show, Max.
So Max, something that hits home with me is, so my grandmother, my father's mother, had Alzheimer's, and she passed away. But for the last few years of her life, I remember going, she lived in Canada, going up to see her, and she had no idea who I was. She had no idea who my dad was. My grandfather was just like, ah, good, now she doesn't talk to me anymore. But, you know, like, you know, it was weird to see that as a kid growing up, and I never made a connection to it. And then I realized now, looking back after watching your video, that I actually have quite a bit of this in my family. My great-grandmother also had this, and my grandmother now at this point, who lives with my parents on my mother's side, is starting to show signs of cognitive degeneration. She has very limited short-term memory, and people chalk that up to being old, but then again, I have clients that are old and in the age of my grandmother, and people that I know that are in their 80s who have no symptoms. They're completely fine. So I know that let's talk about now, you talk about prevention, an ounce of prevention is a pound of cure, or maybe it was...
Well, you were almost there.
Yeah.
What was it again, Max?
An ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure.
Yeah, right. Okay, so
it's like Shakespearean.
Right. Yeah. So let's talk about the prevention, because I'm in my 30s. You know, in another 30 years, you say it takes about 30 years. I'm going to be in my late 60s. What do we start doing? This is our demographic. You know, these are the people that you're talking to. We're the millennials. We want to fix this. So how do we fix it?
Exactly. Well, you know, I'll tell you like everything that I know, but I just want to preface, like, you can do everything right and still, you know, become, you know, experience signs of cognitive decline the same way that you can do everything right in terms of heart health. And there could be some yet to be discovered genetic fluke that gives you a heart attack at a certain age. So, you know, we've got to sort of manage our expectations, I think. But that being said, many people don't realize that you can sway your cognitive health at all. So to me, the idea that we can minimize our risk is just – it's such an important message. And so, you know, I think that for one, stress, you know, we live these like always on lifestyles, and, you know, our faces are constantly in our smartphones, and it affects our sleep to a crazy degree. And so I think that that's, you know, when you're sleeping, your brain is actually cleaning itself of this plaque that they find that builds up in Alzheimer's brains. We all produce this plaque. It's called amyloid beta. But there seems to be a deficiency in the cleaning process and the removal of it in brains where it builds up. And so I think that, like, sleep, you know, is the part of the day where your brain is actually kind of like a dishwasher, like squirting this cerebrospinal fluid through, you know, the glymphatic system, the newly discovered glymphatic system, and it's actually cleaning itself out. So appreciating that, I think, is really important.
Right. So Jeff doesn't have to worry about that one because he sleeps all the time and he has zero stress because the guy has no anxiety.
But that's so funny because we always joke about that. But then here I am thinking, oh my God, at night I'll put that iPad right in front of me and watch something or play like a game, you know, and then wake up super tired sometimes. So I think I gotta stop doing that.
Yeah, I do it too, by the way. I mean, I'm guilty of it too. So I'm just, you know, trying to like, as long as if you're more mindful of it and you do it somewhat less, I mean, you know, we are a part of the world, right? So it's not like we're going to, you know, close ourselves off anytime soon.
But it's going to be kind of, I mean, 25 years from now, it's going to be kind of fascinating what we're going to learn, right?
Well, think about this. Yeah, I mean, look, I remember as a kid, all I remember is I'm going to bed and my parents' TV is on, and it's on until 1 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah,
I mean,
And
they're like well off into their sleep, and the TV's just still on.
Our buddy Matt used to always fall asleep with the TV on. Yeah. That's like how he would fall asleep.
Yeah, some people can't even be around the house without the television on. So it's this constant interference.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So number number one basically is taking care of anxiety and making sure you're getting enough sleep.
I think that's really important. I mean, I think exercise is profoundly important. I don't know if this is like a high. I think they're all equally important, honestly. I think like exercise is the one thing that's been studied where you can actually like promote the growth of new brain cells just by getting on a treadmill. I mean, that's really powerful. For a variety, it also increases insulin sensitivity. Exercise, as I'm sure you guys know. And I'm also obviously diet is huge. So I'm obsessed. Lately, I've been obsessed with macro and micronutrients, and I'm really interested in finding out exactly what the proper dietary pattern is for brain health. Now,
and for the simpleton out there, meaning me, what's the difference between a micro and macronutrient, and what is that?
Yeah, so a macronutrient is like fat, protein, and carbs. Those are macronutrients. Think like macro, big. You know, those are like the components of food that fuel you and that help to rebuild tissues and things like that.
Gotcha.
Micronutrients, small, are like the nutrients, like, you know, the vitamins, the minerals, phytochemicals. You know, there's like just an infinite amount of these, you know, micronutrients in the foods that you eat, some of which have, you know, amazing potential to do crazy things to your health, obviously. You know, like the flavanols in cocoa beans, for example, have been studied to enhance, you know, endothelial function, to, you know, reverse cognitive aging, things like that. So these are all, I think, like really important tools to have in your arsenal. And I'm specifically very, you know, I'm interested in this question of like the low carb diet versus the low fat. Obviously, you know, it doesn't, you know, you follow me for a day, I think it's very easy to see that I'm very much in favor of a low carb diet. That's the diet that I've sort of embraced for myself. And the reason that is because, you know, the one dietary pattern that the most evidence exists for which it's, you know, for which it provides a sort of cardioprotective, neuroprotective property is the Mediterranean diet. But I like to sort of look into that because, you know, these are like conclusions that are based on like epidemiological studies, looks at these like large groups of people. And of course, they include whole grains. But I like to take that, take that a step further. And I've been looking at more sort of granular studies that that show that blood sugar is really not something that you want, you know, to be elevated for any, you know, period of time. And so, you know, like I've embraced a sort of low carb diet, a diet that's high in healthy fats, particularly omega-3s, and, you know, coconut oil, I think, is great for you. So, all those things together, you know, optimizing your sleep, making sure that you're eating a diet that's, you know, lower on the carbohydrate spectrum, higher in healthful fats.
So when you say, so Max, not to take away, but when you say low on the carbohydrate, give people an example of that, because people, I don't think they quite understand what that means in terms of elimination, like what they're trying to avoid.
Yeah, well, I think like a lot of people these days have a sense that sugar is bad for you. You know, like you eat a starch that, you know, a complex carbohydrate, that carb begins breaking down into sugar almost before you swallow it. So I think the first step is eliminating processed refined carbohydrates. I think a lot of your listeners probably already are doing that. But I think it's important to understand that even whole grains, you know, these grains that we've been told should be the foundation of our diets, keep your blood sugar elevated, maybe not less intensely, but over a longer duration. And I think that that's just as problematic. I try to get my carbohydrates from vegetables and from low sugar fruits. I think it's important also to recognize the importance of fiber. And so that's like an interesting balance, you know, to try to walk, because fiber, obviously, you know, you want to feed your microbes, your gut bacteria, but with, I think, as little of a blood sugar cost as possible. So that getting too complicated?
No, not at all. Actually, I'm going to try to dig a little further. Like, I'm curious. So for people that are out there that are listening, what, you know, like, where are you getting your, where are you sourcing your information? If they want to dig deeper, if they want to find out a little more about, you know, this style, because you're not necessarily mentioning a specific style of eating. You're just saying low carbohydrate. Now, when you say that, it makes me think of the ketogenic diet. It makes me think of the paleo diet, which, you know, that makes sense that you've been on Dave Asprey's show and Abel James's show. But do you subscribe to those specifically, or are you just trying to eliminate carbs altogether?
No, I don't think that I'm not trying to eat a zero carb diet. I think that fiber is incredibly important for, you know, a variety of reasons. I like the paleo diet a lot. You know, I think the paleo, the philosophy about food quality, I think is super important. So yeah, I mean, I if I were in an elevator with you and you asked me, you know, to give you my 10-second like healthy diet pitch, I think the paleo diet is a really great starting place.
Yeah.
There's, you know, the LCHF movement, low carb, high fat. I also ascribe to that.
Aren't those technically the same thing? I mean, isn't that kind of what paleo is?
Not necessarily. Well, paleo doesn't necessarily mean that you have to eat low carbohydrate, because you can eat potatoes. You can eat, you know, you can have sweet potatoes. You can even have some white potatoes too. But they try to keep it to a you know, not a minimum, but
right.
It all depends on what your goals are. If your body processes it, you know, processes it well.
Gotcha.
But if you're talking about a specific like a lower carb diet, what paleo is trying to eliminate is all the grains,
right?
And the legumes, keeping those to a minimum. So, but if you were to make one recommendation, the paleo would be the one that you would suggest, Max?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think it's the easiest to comprehend. There's a lot of sort of thought leaders out there that are doing great work. You know, Dave Asprey being one of them, Mark Sisson, all those guys. Yeah, for sure. I just think that, you know, I think getting adequate fiber is super important. You know, I think that grains provide very few nutrients for a huge blood sugar cost. And so, you know, those are the one thing that I feel like is probably the most controversial part of my message. But yeah, I mean, I the paleo diet for sure. I mean, it's a great starting place.
What do you have any opinions? Because I've talked about this on my show, because I lean towards the paleo diet, and some of the people that I've interviewed on my show, well, I say quite a bit of them have written cookbooks, right? And I have a big side passion for cooking, but some of them. Like Russ Crandall, for instance, he believes that, you know, rice is a big staple of his diet, and that white rice specifically fits right into the paleo diet. And I know that it kind of falls in the face of true, you know, paleo, you know, addicts, people that are that believe to, you know, they want to keep it as pure as possible, purist. But how do you feel about rice, and how do you feel about some things? Because I feel like it's becoming a little bastardized over time.
Yeah.
People are trying to make it. And then there's the other side of this too, which I'll jump, and then you can answer this question after. I just read an article recently that talks about how they found that there was some people in the Paleolithic era that they discovered that they obviously are milling rice or making they're grinding
oats.
Grinding oats, so that they were. So. They're trying to debunk the paleo, saying that they didn't necessarily only have meats and vegetables, but they were also making some kind of oats. So,
yeah.
What are your thoughts on those things?
Really good questions. Like, I know that Dave Asprey eats white rice. I've asked him about that. I personally don't get it. I think that white rice, you know, it provides very little fiber, so you're not even feeding your gut microbes. And it's essentially like an empty source of sugar.
That doesn't make sense. I would think brown rice, but why?
It doesn't make any sense to me. I know some people are concerned over the, like, the anti-nutrients maybe in brown rice. That
in
has
whole,
never
yeah.
really been. Yeah, that honestly is like, and you know, I would love to be proved, you know, I would love to learn otherwise, but that just seems like minutia that is not very, you know, I don't think there are many people being poisoned from arsenic by eating brown rice. I don't know how many people are nutrient deficient because they're consuming brown rice. That's something I'd love to learn more about.
I personally think it's horseshit. I really do. I think it's absolute horseshit.
You can't call horseshit on that?
I do. I absolutely want to call horseshit on that. I mean, there's entire countries that eat nothing but rice, basically, not white rice, you know, and they, you know, they never had cancer or anything. You know, and people weren't dying, you know, and they're like, hey, what's causing this? Is it rice? Mm-hmm. I find that to be absolute horseshit. And mind you, well, I know nothing.
I mean, you know a lot. If you can cut out the white rice, I mean, I think that you're saving yourself the blood sugar. That's
absolutely
the thing. I mean, like in you know, parts of Asia, they eat lots of rice, but they're also, that white rice is part of a larger dietary pattern that is probably quite healthful. You know, mm-hmm. They drink a lot of green tea, for example, in the blue, you know, in Okinawa, Japan, which is one of the world's blue zones. You know, I'm sure they eat white rice. They also, you know, consume natto, which is the world's highest source of vitamin K2. It's also a fermented food. So there's like all these confounding variables.
What was the blue zone? What was that? That sounds cool. What's that?
Yeah. So I think there's a book, but a blue zone is a term given for, parts of the world that have really high numbers of centenarians, people that live well into their hundreds. So they've just been called that because they provide really great windows into successful aging.
Right. That's cool.
Yeah.
I'm going to look that up right now. I'm going to look up where are blue zones.
Okinawa, you know that's where Mr. Miyagi was from.
That's where Miyagi was from.
And now we know. That's why.
Now we know.
Is that where they went in Karate Kid Part 2?
Yeah,
Okinawa. That's where they went. Okinawa. Remember the big storm? Remember when he broke the piece of wood over the guy's chest?
Awesome. Max, you don't know this about Jeff and I, but we're huge like 80s movies buffs.
Yeah, yeah.
Especially action.
Especially 80s and 90s films, man. We'll rip that up.
I mean, they were pretty awesome.
They were. Nothing beats the music. Right. Nothing beats the music of that time, man. That opening sequence of Over the Top.
Beverly Hills, I think I've watched it 4 times in the last 6 months.
Which one?
Beverly Hills Cop.
You know what I just watched recently again was An Officer and a Gentleman, randomly.
Great movie.
The whole opening sequence with the great music and everything. I'm like, God, they don't make it like that
anymore. A little girly, though. A little girly.
Oh, a little girly, for sure. Yeah. Love lifts us up where we... That's a big final song.
Sorry, see, this is kind of happens on our show. Especially when Jeff is here, we take big tangents.
Awesome. I'm looking up right now, looking up arsenic and rice, the scary facts, and what you can do about it. Hold on. I'll get back to you guys. Continue talking and I'll tell you.
Yeah, I mean, let's jump to, you know, you have, I've watched now, I don't even know how many, you have videos all over Facebook because you've becoming, talk about your background because you just have this hunger for science. You love reading all kinds of science journals and figuring out the facts and then kind of digesting them and then putting them out there on your Facebook page because you have this vlog that you've created in the process of making this documentary. You're doing this on the side. So talk about that.
Well, yeah. So when I launched the Kickstarter campaign for Breadhead, it was really important to me to engage with the community that I was like starting to grow. And so by vlogging on the road, I felt like that was a really great way for me to sort of put, you know, on the one hand, put out video content, but on the other hand, to really sort of talk to people in a way that, you know, wasn't, that didn't have any artifice, you know, because my background is I hosted Al Gore's TV network Current for many years. So that was very much like I was in a studio setting. There was a big disconnect between me and the audience that I was talking to. But I started doing these vlogs and I've just really enjoyed the workflow of like putting one up a week. And whereas like they started being more about like the production of Breadhead and me sort of just giving updates to the backers, now it's been more like I just want to like get these ideas out there, you know, via whichever means necessary. So you know, we're hard at work on Breadhead, but in the meantime, like I've been really having fun doing all these videos about all these things that I just love to nerd out about, like intermittent fasting, blood sugar hacks, you know, all this stuff. And I've been really psyched. Like they've been getting some good views on Facebook. So
yeah. So on your, so in the documentary, are you discussing things like intermittent fasting, or is that like, that's just a side thing? This is all your own interests that you're kind of following. And as you discover them, you're bringing them up to your Facebook fans.
Yeah. I think, we might like touch on fasting a little bit in the documentary, but you know, it's a fine balance to try to walk, you know, like wanting the documentary to cover everything that there is to know about the world of prevention.
Right.
But then also telling like a compelling story that's emotionally impactful. Like, so I don't know if we're going to get to cover all those technical sort of cool
Well, let's cover, because we've only talked about intermittent fasting just a little bit on this show, and it's something that I don't necessarily do, but I definitely have clients and friends and colleagues that have done it. But why don't you give our audience a description of what intermittent fasting does and what the benefits are?
Yeah, so intermittent fasting is the idea, like, and we were just, you know, debating the, you know, the paleo diet and, you know, whether or not they were eating oats, you know, back at the dawn of our evolution. You know, obviously scientists just found that pestle or whatever it's called.
Yeah, 32,000 years ago.
Yeah, so there's like, there's all this debate about what it is that we've, you know, that we evolved to consume. And I think that's a really fascinating debate. But one thing that everybody can pretty much agree on is the fact that we didn't have supermarkets back at the dawn of our evolution. We didn't have Seamless. And so the like always on sort of like food thing, we had to go through long periods of time where there was no food, where there was famine.
Yeah, and Jeff never would have survived any of that.
Oh, famine?
yeah.
No.
He doesn't even know what that word means.
I don't even like living here when it doesn't rain. No.
Anyway, okay. So we had to go through famine.
Yeah, and so to make it through those evolutionary winters where it was hard to come by food. I mean, I think, you know, the science has shown that it turns out we have these sort of hardwired protective mechanisms built into us to get us to that point where we can find our next meal. And by eating constantly throughout the day, where we seemingly undermine those mechanisms. And so, you know, there's a lot of this is hypothetical, although there have been, you know, studies done in mice, and there are an increasing amount of studies that have been done in humans. And the studies seem to all point to the idea that short-term fasting actually can have a plethora of benefits, both on your brain health, but then also on your actual cognitive function. So I did a video on that. I think I posted it just today or yesterday, actually.
Yeah, I think it was yesterday.
And it's something that I do all the time. So actually right now it's about 2 PM East Coast time, and I'm fasted. So I've had black coffee. Mm-hmm. But I haven't actually eaten anything yet today. And it's not because I really set out to have today be a day that, you know, I was going to fast, but I've just had like a ton of meetings, and then I ran from my last meeting here. And so it turns out that, you know, it's now 2 PM and I haven't yet eaten, and I feel very cognitively sharp, like on point. And you know, that makes sense from an evolutionary standpoint, because there's no time when you need to be at your most clever than when looking for your next meal. So, right. Yeah, so this is something that I really sort of like to play with, just in my own biology. And you know, it's not for everybody. I think that people with poor blood sugar control, you might want to check with their doctors. But you know, I'm pretty healthy, and so it's something that I think is a great tool to have in your arsenal.
So, do you think that having coffee is kind of cheating the system a little bit, because you're because I mean, obviously your body's not necessarily digesting, but you're giving the caffeine to your brain to kind of speed things up, to give yourself a little boost of energy.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. It's black coffee has no calories. It's also a great source of antioxidants and fiber.
Right.
So in general, I think that coffee is pretty beneficial. I think the consensus is more in favor of coffee than it is against it.
Right.
I also occasionally, you know, going back to Dave Asprey, and, you know, I think he's, you know, great, and I love the Bulletproof coffee recipe. I'll, you know, have that sometimes. And the benefit for me in drinking Bulletproof coffee when I'm fasted is that the fat slows down the absorption of caffeine.
Right.
So I feel less of that sort of that caffeine spike that I would otherwise experience.
Would a Bulletproof coffee still be considered part of the fasting with all the fat?
Well, I think so, because it doesn't sway whether or not you're in ketosis. Because,
okay.
Yeah. So the idea behind this 16-hour fasting window is that it takes about 12 hours for your liver, which is sort of your brain's backup battery, to be depleted of glycogen. And so then you get to experience a couple of hours. And this is, you know, like I can't cite the exact study where I read this, but that you in fasting for 16 hours, you get to experience your brain gets to experience ketones. By consuming carbohydrates, obviously you would kick yourself out. You then start using, you know, your dietary carbs for fuel. And protein can be converted to glucose by way of gluconeogenesis. Protein is also insulinogenic. So I think that the one macronutrient that actually can be consumed while in a fasted state is fat. And, you know, if I'm going to drink the Bulletproof coffee concoction, I'll use grass-fed ghee, which is pure fat, and coconut oil, which, you know, has, you know, those MCTs actually that studies have shown that they have that coconut oil can have thermogenic properties, you know, kicks your metabolism into high gear. And they also provide another means of getting ketones to the brain. So
in this 16-hour fast, what's after you do? You mentioned that's how long it, right? 16 hours. Is that what you said?
Yeah.
That's how long it is. Yeah. After that, what do you recommend you eat first?
Man, I don't know. I mean, you know, whatever. Like,
well, you said, I think I remember you saying in your video, like, eat the amount of calories that you would eat in a normal day. Just get it in those 8 hours.
Yeah. I mean, I would go, for example, you know, like, I would, on a day that I'm home, like today, I would go and make a huge scramble, you know, pasteurized eggs, vegetables, coconut oil, stuff like that. So you want to make sure that you're still getting all of your nutrients. You're not depriving yourself.
Right. Is this something that someone could do every day, or is this not recommended every day? To basically, you're saying eat over the course of an 8-hour window and fast for the other 16 hours a day.
That's a really good question, and I'm not sure. Okay. I think that there's probably something to be said for giving yourself a few days where you're just eating normally, you know, to upregulate leptin, which, you know, I think can confer metabolic benefits, and just keeping your body on its toes.
Right.
But I'm not actually sure. And I don't do the intermittent fasting thing every single day.
Right. I didn't think so. I was just wondering. I'm always just like, you know, that the time that you eat seems to be something that we don't actually talk about.
Yeah, I have to do a little more research on the intermittent fasting, but I don't think it's supposed to be an every single day thing.
I don't think so either.
Hence the term intermittent.
Good call.
There you go.
Good call. I mean, there's a lot of big words being thrown around today, so I'm trying to just – I'm writing them down.
All right. So, Max, what's the timeline on the documentary? I know you guys are deep in it right now.
Well, we are – yeah. So early next year, so early 2016, I think we're going to have something awesome to show to the world. I can't really give any more details other than that, but we're probably looking at a feature release either mid-year or later in the year. It turns out that making a documentary takes a lot of time. I did not know this. Yeah. Who knew, right?
Who knew?
But it's not something that we just want to, like, throw together and then put out there. Like, it's really important to me that the film looks good, that it's emotionally resonant. And so we're kind of taking our time to make the best film that we can.
And you guys had a Kickstarter, a very successful Kickstarter. And I don't think the doors have opened for those who want to donate further or help, you know, support this film.
You mean closed?
Any
you
further?
Mean closed. The door's closed.
The door's not closed.
The door is not closed. Yeah. The door is still open. The door is open.
All right.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Yes. We have a PayPal link at breadheadmovie.com. So we definitely are still in the fundraising stage. So if you feel like contributing anything, feel free.
I'm gonna put the link, or I'm gonna put the video on my on our show notes and in the blog post. So this way, if anybody's interested, they can go check that out at openskyfitness.com for this specific show. Hey, so Max, anywhere else people can find you? Where, you know, I know that you're on Facebook, so is it just your name?
Yeah, Facebook.com/Max Lugavere. I'm also on Twitter, Twitter.com/Max Lugavere. And yeah, whatever, I'm on all this, wherever all the kids are these days, you know, in terms of social media, that's where I am.
All right.
Can you follow me on Tinder? Is that possible?
I don't know.
That's up to you, man. That's up to you.
Jeff and I are just total morons when it comes to the dating sites.
Oh yeah, we don't know anything about. I mean, we've helped our friends before.
Except what's the one now that everybody's getting outed on? The
Ashley Madison.
Ashley Madison.
Oh, that's
bad.
Oh man,
bears right
Ooh,
there.
Ooh, dog. When that came out, did you not feel so good in that moment just because you thought about? Can you imagine? I actually really want to get a hold of Funny or Die and make a whole skit on that because I think that's a hilarious thing. Like there's got to be plenty of wives out there that were like, well, I'm going to go check to see if his name's there.
Yeah.
And if you know your name is there.
Out like 300,000 people?
They did. I mean, it's an insane number of people, especially famous people. Max, your last name, why don't you spell it out? Because it's impossible. And you keep saying it as if people are like, oh, let me just look up Lugavere.
Yeah.
Go for it.
It's a difficult one. Lugavere.
And what is Lugavere. That? What is Lugavere? Is that German?
You know, if you Google it, there's really no, like, the best answer I can get from my dad is that it was probably changed at some point. Mm. You know, I mean, I'm three generations New York, so it could have been any number of things. I think I've got a bit of, like, Russian, German in the mix somewhere. But
yeah, I get it.
Here sounds about right.
Yeah, it sounds Jeff's like all
gonna,
of us.
You know Jeff's going to do that later with a German accent.
Oh, yeah. Look at
Yeah.
If you don't mind me asking a personal question, how's your mom doing now?
I mean, you know, it's not a great situation, but we're making the best of it.
Right.
And you know, she's in really good hands, and you know, my priority is really trying to find something that works for her and to try to make the best of a shitty situation. So
there's not many people out there like you, man. So this is very cool what you're doing.
And one of the great things that I noticed about your teaser for the documentary that you're creating is it comes across, and I was talking to Jeff about this before we got on the line with you, it really comes across as of how important your mother is to you and how much love you have for her. So I you know, it's great to see that, and I think that's gonna be one of the things that's really gonna help catapult this film into the mainstream, because you can't fake that. That's just, you can't make that stuff up.
It comes across genuine.
It comes across extremely genuine. And we applaud you for that. And I think that's why you're having so much success so far in raising money for this movie. So good luck to you with
it. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Yeah. All right. Thanks so much for coming on, Max. I really appreciate it.
Yeah. Cool guy, man.
Thank you guys.
Hands down, the smartest dude we know. That's it. Yeah.
Wow, that was awesome.
That dude is, I can't deal with how smart he is. I can't, he's so much smarter than I'll ever, the words he used were so big.
It's so easily impressed.
I mean, they were huge words, but he never came across once as like being douchey at all. He's like, sounds like an awesome guy. I'd like to hang out with him.
Totally.
I'd like to learn from that man.
Yeah.
Hey, listen, Max, if you're ever into tutoring, I'll do that with you.
Just tutor Jeff.
Just on big words.
How to be an adult.
How to use bigger words.
Oh, my God. All right, guys. Well, we're going to sign off, but just another reminder, please leave us a review on iTunes. If you love the show, we'd love to hear about it. If you just want to hear a little more about our show, please subscribe. So the quickest way to leave us a review is to text the word OSF review, as in Open Sky Fitness, OSF review, to the number 33444. And we will text you a link back that gives you a direct link to the iTunes review page. And you can click and leave us a review right there. As a reward for doing that, we will send you a bottle of Naked Infusion Salsa. And all you have to do is do a snapshot of that review before you send it. Snapshot it and email that snapshot to rob@openskyfitness.com. Tell me which kind of salsa you want. There's 8 bottles to choose from on the nakedinfusionsalsa.com website. And we will, and your address, obviously, send us your address, because otherwise we won't know where to send it. So send us that information and we will send you a free bottle of salsa as a thank you for leaving us an awesome review. Sound good?
Yeah, man. That's it. You did it.
I did it.
Yeah, we rocked it.
We killed this one.
God, yeah.
We're out. Guys, thanks for listening to the show. Tune in next week. We have another awesome Open Sky Fitness podcast for you.
All right. Thanks for listening to the Open Sky Fitness podcast. Please check us out on Instagram @OpenSkyFitness, where you can follow Rob, link to the podcast, learn about upcoming guests, and post questions for him. You can also ask us questions about your own health and fitness, and we'll try to answer them on the show. For our blog, show notes, and more information about training with Rob Dionne, go to OpenSkyFitness.com. Our music is by H. Scott Salinas. You can check him out at HScottSalinas.com. So for Rob Dionne and the rest of the Open Sky Fitness team, this is Jeff Meacham saying that no matter where you are in your life, you can always be healthier. And we're here to help you get there. All right, I'm done.